Good morning, Turks and Caicos. We are back with another episode of Health Matters. On this episode, we are lucky enough to have Miss Judith Robinson, a senior program officer for the Health Promotion Advocacy Unit, to talk about fitness and lifestyle, eating, all of those good things. So good morning, Miss Robinson. Thank you for being on the show.
Good morning, Miss Sanders. Thank you for having me. And good morning, Turks and Caicos.
So to start off, Ms. Robinson, can you please explain a bit about your role as a senior program officer for the Health Promotion Advocacy Unit?
Oh, definitely. My role as a senior health promotion officer, program officer, is more responsible for the communication and the fitness side of health. Part of my role is to assist in ensuring that education materials and other press-related information gets to the country at large on behalf from the Ministry of Health. But in health, my role is to assist with the operation side of our unit, and more or less to focus on the non-communicable diseases of healthy lifestyle with fitness, and continuing to encourage people to be active as we continue to educate them about the different diseases that are affecting the Turks and Caicos Islanders on the whole.
So what inspired you to go into fitness?
Wow. That's a loaded question, because I have been in fitness from a very young age. My father used to get up early in the morning with a few of his friends, and they go walking and swimming. And I got into fitness from that very young age. I have represented my country from the tender age of 12, and as today, I can proudly say that I'm a certified health and fitness, I would say fitness personal trainer, certified by American Sports and Fitness Association and the National Academy for Sports Medicine. And with that, I am also certified with dealing with group fitness, senior and wellness trainer. I am a certified sports performing athlete and coach, certified by the World Athletic Federation. I have been in sports and fitness, as I've said, from very young. And I love the feeling of having that energy and feeling good about myself. But what kept me in that was seeing a lot of my family members that on both sides of the family that incur various non-communicable diseases. And I vow from very young, I don't want to be overweight. I want to make sure to keep healthy. So these are things that I embedded into my mind from young. So I try my best to keep pushing forward, not only for myself, but being an example and helping others that I can assist to ensure that they themselves stay healthy and fit.
Thank you for giving us that introduction and a bit about your background and why you are so passionate about fitness. You mentioned, you know, watching family members, you know, starting to develop non-communicable diseases, and that's something that can definitely be relatable even outside your family. We are a country where we see so much diabetes and hypertension, heart issues, kidney issues, and it really starts from, you know, physical activity and, well, lack of, and, you know, poor eating habits. So it's great to hear that inspired you to do and be better and to give back to our community in that way.
Yes.
So to talk about the importance of exercise, why is regular physical activity essential for maintaining overall health and well-being?
Well, Maya, when we look at physical activity, it's one of the best ways to maintain a healthy body and mind. Yeah, you know, it helps to relieve stress. It improves our mood. It boosts our energy level. It aids in sleep. And that's something, you know, I'm guilty of lack of sleep, and which is very poor. And it can reduce the risk of chronic diseases, you know, even including dementia and depression. You know, when we look at physical activities, it includes a form of movement, particular in ways to stay active, including like walking, cycling, swimming, playing various types of sports, or even participating in recreation activities. When people hear sometimes physical activity, they look at or hear or see some kind of strenuous exercise. But these activities can be enjoyed at any skill level, and even your basic household chores, you know, a job that requires physical labor can contribute to just staying physical active. Overall, you know, regular physical activities can be proven to prevent and manage non-communicable diseases such as heart disease, hypertensive, stroke, diabetes, and various cancers. You know, it helps to maintain a healthy weight and ensure and encourage, you know, mental health, the quality of life, and the overall well-being of one's physical health and mental health.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain the difference between aerobic, strength, and flexibility exercises and how each benefits the body?
Okay, let me break it down. Okay. Aerobic fitness improves your body ability to use oxygen you breathe for energy, while also strengthening our hearts. When we look at muscular fitness, which is more or less the strength, this enhances our muscles' ability to perform various tasks, you know. And the other one you said, flexibility. Flexibility, it allows for better movement in your joint and increase your muscle ability to strengthen through the full range of motion. In a nutshell, think of this. The ability to walk depends on your muscular fitness and flexibility of your hips. If you have great hips and leg strength, your body can carry you further, faster, without losing breath or being exhausted. So when you look at the makeup of those three, which is the aerobic fitness, the muscle fitness, which is strength and flexibility, each have its own part, but together it helps to function to ensure that your movement and your ability to advance from point A to B is more flexible. It's more less pain, less stiffness. So they work together to help to benefit you as you continue to move.
Yeah. Thank you for just going over the difference, because I think when they want to start their fitness journey or exercise journey, they don't know exactly where they should, you know, specify like this specific exercise. And it's great that you went over each one and its benefits and why they are good for us.
Yes, thank you.
How much physical activity should the average person aim for in each week? And does this vary by their age, their gender, or health conditions?
Wow. Yes, thank you for that. Now, like some persons will say, we all may look alike, but we all have different fingerprints. And I say this because the amount of physical activities differ in many ways to a person active weekly as to gender and their health condition. You know, the World Health Organization in the effects sheet in 2024, it gives us a guideline. Children and adolescents from age 5 to 17 years, it's like 60 minutes per day. Adults age 18 to 64, it's 150 to 300 minutes per week. And adults 65 and older is 75 to 150 minutes per week, such as pregnant women, close to the same thing. But as a personal trainer, and I usually say to persons, you know, this is good, but it's not a guideline that is in stone. Because my first statement that I said, no one have the same fingerprint. So I always encourage persons to first know your body. Yes, you can push a little more than yesterday, but you have to know your body and your limits. And second, I always encourage people, before you do any sort of exercises or physical activity, consult and sit with your doctor. Because me and you might be the same height and might look the same body weight, but the internal organs and how I can push, you might not be able to push. So the best thing to do, on my advice, is to seek advice and guidance from your doctor, and then before moving into any type of physical activity, so that you have that support, not only from the medical side. If you join a gym and you work a personal trainer, together they can work to ensure that your program is tailored to you and not a program that is tailored to persons that look like you.
Thank you for that. I think it's really important that you mentioned, it's really great that you mentioned, you know, consult your doctor before, or your primary care physician, before you go ahead and, you know, start something that might not be compatible with your body or health conditions. Like Ms. Robinson said, you guys can look the same height, same weight, but your body might function differently and might be capable of different things at, you know, different levels. So it's very important to, you know, consult with your doctor to make sure that everything is fine. What are some simple ways for someone new to exercise to get started and to stay motivated?
Oh, there are many ways, but I'll just break a few down simple that I usually say to people. The first and foremost, yes, as I've said earlier, first get your permission from doctor to ensure that you can work out. You must plan your routine and commit to your journey, because it's your journey. It's not my journey. I'm just there to assist and try to encourage you. But make a schedule and try to commit to it. Just like waking up in the morning and going to work, going to school, going to church, fit in at least 45 to an hour into your daily schedule, so that it become part of, okay, I'm waking up, I'm doing my morning devotions, let me put in 35 or 45 minutes of exercise and start my routine. When you can put it into your daily routine, it doesn't become a hazard. It doesn't become something that is straining, or you got to make up your mind if you do it. I encourage person to plan your routine and put it into your daily routine. Don't do it alone. Get an accountable buddy. Yes, it's possible to reach your health goal by yourself, but it can be easier with others or a strong, committed group, or even a personal trainer that will continue to ensure that you reach your goals. But don't do it alone. It's going to be harder if you do it alone, because you have persons that do it alone and they go on to YouTube or various different things and pull it down. But you need to have someone to not only encourage you, but seeking advice to make sure what you're doing, it's for your body type. And I'm saying your body type because there are many exercises out there that you see females doing or male doing, but is it for the body type of me as a female or a male? So seek advice and make sure that you have support in what you're doing. Celebrate yourself. Celebrate even the smallest wins, because it's all about you. It's not about Mary Sue or Dick or Harry. It's about you. It's your plan. It's your program. It's your goal. So if when you started, you realized that your pants button was too tight and in 2 weeks, at least you can fasten it, celebrate. Celebrate your wins, because it's all about you. The main thing I always say, find the why and think about it. Find the why. Why are you doing this program? By finding your why and keeping the focus on it, it's harder for you to quit. When you feel like quitting, you'll be like, okay, why am I doing this? Is it for just for my health? I have to do this because if I don't, X, Y, and Z. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I want to feel healthy, have more energy. You have to find your why. Knowing and understanding your why is the big part of setting and achieving your fitness goal. So we encourage, when we sit down, why you want to do this. Is it because Maya want to do it? That is not sufficient enough for you to reach your goal. Why you need to find that deep why you want to do this. Prepare in advance. If you're working out early mornings, lay out your clothes the night before. If you're working out after work, prepare and take your workout bag to work. So when you're finished, you go in the bathroom before you leave your job. Change your clothes so you know your mindset is all ready to go. One of the things I always say is what we tell our minds, our body is going to do. So we need to adopt that type of way, you know. Have fun. This is important too, because having fun and making your exercise fun will help you to want to do it. Because if you're not having fun while you're exercising, or you're just doing it because, it's not going to motivate you. It's not going to push you back, because the first week of any type of exercise, may it be a body exercise or in the gym, you're going to have pain. And if it wasn't fun, and the fellowship in the gym or with other persons, tomorrow when you wake up and you walk in like somebody beat you, you ain't gonna want to go back. So you have to have fun in what you're doing. Keep moving. I encourage persons to keep moving. If you're going to be working out 3 days a week, the 2 days in between, just do walking. You have to keep moving, because the muscles have to stay in that active mode of mind to make sure that tomorrow, okay, we're going to lift weights. Good. Oh, okay, tomorrow we're going to run the stairs. So you have to keep moving. It might be less, but you have to keep moving. And if you're not going to walk, hey, turn on your favorite playlist and dance in the house. Do your house chores. Just stay focused. Stay moving. You know, stay having fun as you move about. And last, you know, I would like to say, focus on the reward. Think about how good you would feel when you finish working out or accomplishing your goals. And I'm sure many persons can say after a good sweat, a good walk, yeah, you might start out with a little pain, but when you finish, you still bust with energy. So those are some of the tips, you know, I would like to leave with persons that are thinking of starting, or persons that have stopped and wanting to restart.
I couldn't agree more with everything that you said. As you were speaking, you're like, you know, even on your days off, if you're working out 3 days a week, stay active, go for a walk. And it makes me think of, you know, one of the laws of motion is an object in motion stays in motion. A body in motion stays in motion. You know, you don't want to get too comfortable doing nothing on your days off. And walk out the pain. The pain that you're feeling after the gym is a good pain. Like, it's one of the best pains, because you're like, I worked hard. I broke a sweat. I am doing something that will only bring me good, like bring my body and health good in the future and for right now. You're improving your heart, you're improving your lung capacity, you're improving how your body is processing food and sugars, and it's greatly reducing your risks of non-communicable diseases. I love when you mentioned to celebrate the small wins. I think it's really easy, and we live in a society where, you know, we want to be better, we want to be the best, but you can't be the best overnight. You can't jump from level zero to level 10 overnight. So to celebrate those small ones, like you said, if you can't do up your button now, but in 2 weeks you can, celebrate that. Celebrate that, you know, this week maybe you can only lift 5 pounds. Next week maybe you can do 8, and maybe by the end of the year you can do 50. But don't expect to be able to do 50 on your first day, because I think that's just a recipe to feel defeated. Like, sure, celebrate the small increments that you're making towards a better, healthier, and longer life, because you'll be healthier. So I think those are all super important things that you mentioned, and I hope that people take in, because it is really easy to feel defeated when you go there and you're looking around, you're like, well, that guy's muscly, that woman has abs, and I have neither. But it didn't happen overnight. People are rarely overnight successes. So you just have to remember that everyone is on their own journey, and they took their own journey to get to the places they are at.
It's so true. And I had a group that I was exercising with, and I tell them the theme for this period of boot camp will be drink water and mind your business, because we all have to drink water. But minding your business is for an individual. You drink your water, mind your business, because if she can touch your toes and you can't, mind your business, next week you're going to touch your toes. So you have to, like you said, you have to focus on your journey, because if Jane have abs and just showing it off, one day you will have abs also.
And, you know, part of what you're saying is comparison really is the thief of joy. You can't be working out and be jealous of, as you said, Jane for touching her toes, because that's just going to make you feel bad. That's going to make you feel defeated. But for all you know, you could be touching your toes next week.
True.
You know, mind your own business, mind yourself, because you'll be there. Don't compare yourself with whoever's next to you, whoever's able to run faster, run longer, because you will get there if you put in that work. So more about exercise types. I know you talked a bit about aerobic strength and flexibility exercises, but how can people effectively combine things like cardio, strength training, and flexibility exercise for a balanced routine?
You know, I always say there is no single type of exercise that can meet all of our needs. To maximize the benefit of our routine, it is important to include various activities throughout the week. And that is, when I'm saying various activities, that is working different parts of your bodies, pairing them together. If Monday you work your shoulders and your arms and abs, Tuesday you work the lower body. So it is a combination of putting various exercises together, which will combine your cardio, the strength training, flexibility, what comes with stretches, but you know, relying on solely on one type of exercise is simply to having a diet that consists only of fruit. Although fruits is healthy, it lacks many essential nutrition found in other foods like fish, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains. For me, I would recommend, apart from your daily or your weekly schedule and fitting in the various parts of your body, which will culminate with cardio and strength. You may be saying on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you're doing weights. Tuesday, Wednesday, you're either doing walking or doing on a treadmill. But I also recommend that, because most people can't afford a gym fee or can't afford a personal trainer, simple to have a combination of these various exercise type I recommend if you can swimming, because that works your full body muscular structure. If you have a bike, cycle, again, full body, various types of stretches to make sure that your joints are not stiff, using various stuff in your home, water bottles, gallon water bottles, you can use them as weights to help in when you're talking about strength training, to build a muscle. Using nowadays, which is more coming, where you see a lot of person using this resistant bands. So when it comes to effective combine of cardio, strength training, flexibility with a balance, each individual training is tailored to their fitness, you know, and I encourage walking for cardio, which is free, open air cardio. Take your family to the beach, walk the beach, have fun in the sea. These are some of the things that you can use other than being in the gym. But if you're part of a gym and a gym membership, your trainer there should be able to structure a program where you break up the body parts in the week, or daily exercises would combine your cardio, which can be on the treadmill or walking, or even aerobics, a group aerobics, strength training where it comes to weights. There is a myth where people, female, think that going in the gym lifting weight will make you bulky and masculine. No, there are the programs that are geared to either you want to bulk up or you just want to be physically fit with lean. So the weights itself help to strengthen some of the female structure that give them that lean and sexy look other than being bulky and muscular. So that myth, I always said, you know what? It's the trainer and the persons in the gym who plans and puts your program together. They know exactly what is needed to help you, because some of the exercises you might be doing to say you want to strengthen, strength training, you might be bulking because what the man is doing, you want to do. Female exercises are somewhat different if you're not there to bulk up. There is, and for male, there are programs that you can use to help to strengthen and more to tune your muscles instead of bulk it. So in the gym, you would find where you do your cardio, you do your strength, which is strength training, which is strengthening the muscles with a gang. You can use weights or resistant bands. For flexibility, we encourage stretching. There's very type of stretching. You can just have a day, or one of your daily exercises is just stretching. Because if you can be flexible and continue to stretch the various muscles, you can, and it should be able to give you a much better workout than the day before and help to ease some of the sore muscles from the day prior. So in a nutshell, I would recommend, like I said, swimming, cycling, stretching, using various household items to help you to maintain that effective combination if you're not in the gym. And a good weight training that will be tailored for fitness rather than bulking up.
Swimming is such a great one, especially on the joints. Swimming involves all of your muscles from your back, your abs, your upper body, lower body. But because of the buoyancy of the water, there's no gravity to put pressure on your muscles. And it really is so joint and, sorry, not muscles, on your joints. And it's so joint friendly. So for people who have like those issues where they have pains, aches, swimming is a really friendly sport. And you can start off in a shallow pool learning how to swim if you don't know how to swim, until you can build your way up there. Because I can't recommend swimming more than I already do. It is so great for your body.
Definitely. But it's sad, too, that most Turks islanders don't know how to swim.
Yeah.
And it's an essential, not only is it an exercise, but I think we can both agree that is it, it's an essential skill for life, seeing yes. that we live on an island and we are surrounded by water.
Definitely.
Yeah, so you can start off small, you can start off in a shallow, you can go to adult swim lessons, you can start there and learn the skill of swimming, and then you can like move up a level and learn this the physical activity, the exercise of swimming, and just find your way in the pool or the ocean. You can see how much fun it is.
Definitely.
So, Miss Robinson, are there specific recommendations for seniors, pregnant women, or people living with chronic health conditions?
Maya, yes, they are. And in my opinion, these are specific recommendations for these various category of groups. However, each individual has a different makeup structure and complexities. You know, therefore, there is not one guideline or fingerprint to follow. It's more of a custom design for each person. Nevertheless, it is recommended that individual engage in at least 150 minutes of moderate intensive activity each week, tailored to their specific needs and situations. And I say this because when you look at seniors and pregnant women or even persons, you know, living with the chronic health conditions, each one of their levels of physical activities varies, you know. And as I've always said, I encourage individuals to consult with their doctors for ongoing guidance. This way, if you have a personal trainer, they can collaborate closely to ensure that your exercise program is tailored to your health needs. And when I'm saying health needs, because you might be doing exercises, you might want to go and to change your whole diet plan into healthier eating. But with the consultation of your doctor, it helps one to assist you because your medication might react a different with the food changing or the meal changing that you want. Your medication might also interact with the type of exercise that would be needed for you to get the amount of physical activity for the week. So again, as I always strongly encourage persons, always consult your doctor. When you sit down and consulting your doctor, you say, "Doc, I want to do some physical activities. I want to do some training with a personal trainer. I want to do rehab." Let your doctor know exactly what you want to do, because they should be able to guide you to say, okay, hold on. You can't do this type of exercise because it's going to raise your heart level. You can't do this exercise because if you do and you twist your foot or your ankle, it can cause more damage to your knee that you just had surgery on. So, and that is why I always say to clients, consult the doctor. The doctor will have to give the confirmation that you can start, because these are questions that I would relate to them to say, ask your doctor about this. We all can exercise, but nowadays the simplest little pain in the chest or pain in the leg, persons just ignore it and think that, oh, it's because I'm over-exercising. No, there's something wrong. Consult with your doctor to make sure that you can continue. You know, this is essential, very important, especially important if you are following a meal plan that aligns with your condition and medication. So all I can say is that, yes, there are different exercises that can be tailored to each one of these groups, seniors, pregnant women, because you can be pregnant and look very healthy on the outside, but for me who don't know your medical history, there can be things wrong. So again, I strongly and as always seek the medical make sure that you get that medical assessment. And then from there, through the advice of your doctor, you can seek to do an exercise program.
It's so important that you mentioned that people will feel a pain in their chest or their leg and might attribute it to their exercise, and but it could be something that's wrong and like not actually related to exercise, but could be something that could be worse. We had, obviously, you know, we had Dr. Clark on an episode a few weeks ago, and she said I can't remember the exact phrase she used, but essentially of this just weight culture, or I'll keep an eye on it culture, where it's like, no, like don't keep an eye, because you don't actually necessarily know what to keep an eye out for, and you don't want to wait until things are too late and have progressed too much, and go see your, you know, your healthcare provider, go see your doctor or your nurse, because you don't want it to progress and get worse. Like you said, you might have a pregnant woman who looks very healthy, but there could be more going on. And I think that goes for all of us. But, you know, one of the most important things is to stay active or in that way, in whatever possible way you can, whether that's if you're limited to just doing walks, if you have mobility requirements, you know, if you can move your arms, being able to do that. One of my favorite courses when I was at school was the biology of physical activity, and the other one was exercise and chronic disease. And I took biology and physical activity first, and it was just very interesting to see, to learn about how the body reacts to movement, to physical activity, learning the kinesiology of movement, and then taking exercise and chronic disease and learning about how movement, no matter how big or small, truly has a positive effect on chronic illnesses. Mm-hmm. And we were taught how, you know, if you, like, for even with cancer patients, how movement is good for them, diabetes. We learned about even in multiple sclerosis, all of those things. And a big part of, you know, a big lesson from that class was to keep on moving no matter what. True. You know, I was so inspired by those courses that I chose to do my research in how physical activity affects concussion patients and whether it's negative and positive. But movement, exercise, physical activity has such a positive effect on neuroplasticity and our brain health that moving, even if you don't have chronic illnesses, does wonders for our brain. Like, it is so important to keep mm-hmm. on moving.
Definitely.
Even if you are limited, even if you have a health condition, speak with your doctor, speak with your physical trainer, learn adapted ways that you can keep on moving so you can stay healthy.
Definitely.
So moving on to mental health, obviously mental health is a big topic right now. It's so important for our well-being. How does physical activity contribute to mental well-being? And are there specific exercises that can help reduce stress and anxiety?
You know, we all have mental health just as well, just as we all have physical health. You know, when one hears of mental health, the stigma as though as you're crazy, you know, but we have to move away from that, because our mental health is how we are feeling and how we are able to cope with the natural highs and lows in life. You know, it helps us in when we're looking at promoting the positive mental well-being. It's important as to contribute to feeling good about ourselves, being able to navigate the challenges and grasp opportunity, and having a sense of purpose and value. You know, with physical exercise have been proven to have a huge improvement on mental well-being. You know, with studies showing that people who exercise regularly experience better mental health and emotional well-being, as well as lower rates of mental issues and illness. You know, when you hear of mental health, as I said before, persons will say, "Oh, I'm not crazy. I don't need to go to a doctor for that." But they have to realize mental health is more than that. You're not crazy. Mental health is part of making sure that you get that balance, because when you're overstressed and you're feeling that anxiety just coming on, that is part of saying to you, hey, it's time to take a step back, to relax, to calm yourself down. That's how I see it. And, you know, in my opinion, some exercises that may help with stress and anxiety is walking. Just move away from the situation that is stressing you, you know, and just either you put on your earphones with your playlist, maybe gospel or whatever, and you just walk. Just walk. And you would be amazed to know when you'd say, wow, I walked this far, because you just allowing everything to just move away from that environment and your mind to go elsewhere to relax. You know, I also encourage breathing exercise, deep breathing exercises, you know, something like yoga, which is popular in the other islands and Provo especially. Persons might think this is stupid or doesn't align with it, but you can declutter your house. Sometimes there was a research where they said when you're in spaces that have so much clutter, it also clutter your mind. So when you can declutter your house and sit in a quiet environment with less, more space, it also helps to release some of that stress and that anxiety. But go for a massage. Get a full body massage if you can afford it. Have a warm bath. Run a bath. Nowadays, most people just take all the bathtubs out and use showers, but the bathtub is still important. At least have one bathroom in your house with a tub. Just run a warm bubble bath and just lay off in it and relax yourself, you know, or sitting quiet. Just take a drive and go sit quiet by the seaside, or find the quietest room and just sit and just, you know, just let everything melt away. And for the prayer warriors, yeah, people who pray, yes, stress and anxiety always hit them too. So all I'm saying to you, the prayer warriors, more time in the war room. So, you know, those are some of the suggestions I can give to help lessen and to reduce stress and anxiety and to help to maintain our mental health in some way.
I'm loving all of these mental health tips. And you truly mentioned something for everyone. If you are a prayer warrior, pray. If you need to go for a drive, drive. I know when I'm feeling stressed or anxious, I go from either I just don't want to leave my bed to, oh my goodness, I have so much energy I need to get out of me right now, and I just need to go for a walk. I need to go for a hike. Like you said, a bubble bath. Like you said, a lot of places don't have them anymore. It is so important, because not only can you have mental health benefits from it, muscle health too. Mm-hmm. You can have a nice warm bath to relax your muscles. You can do an ice bath to stimulate your muscles.
Definitely.
So many benefits to that. So I'm happy you brought that back, because I think that's something people actually think about. And like you said, declutter your house, help declutter your mind. And you even mentioned doing house chores. You can do physical activity out of that. Mm-hmm. Simple ways to incorporate physical activity into your daily life is through activities of daily life. I remember my PE teacher in high school was like, you can be exercising and not even have to actively put too much thought into it. She's like, when you're sitting down at your desk, flex your abs for like, hold it for 30 seconds, do it three times, do little circuits, hold your muscles, do all of them. She's like, you are working out and not even have to do anything.
So true.
So we are winding down to that time where we don't have many questions left, but I'm hoping we can get maybe three or four more questions out of Ms. Robinson. She has been such a great guest to interview with such a wealth of knowledge. So we're going to talk about barriers. What are some common barriers people face when trying to exercise regularly, and how can they overcome these challenges?
Well, there are a lot of common barriers, you know, for regular exercises. But just to go through a few, you know, one of the main thing people always say, lack of time. I don't have no time. Busy schedule often leave people feeling like they don't have time to exercise. But you have to put it into your routine. You have to make time. It's not about me. You have to make the time because your health is important. You know, low motivation, difficult in getting started or starting and then stopping. You know, again, as I said earlier, when you start, make sure you start with a buddy. Make sure that what you want to do is fun. You don't have to start in the gym. You can start just by walking. You can start by just playing music in your house and doing various exercises, you know. If you're sweeping, when you sweep, two sweeps, you lift the broom over your head and push it up, you know, pull it back down. It's various things. I mean, if you're dancing, wow, you know, you go low. Go low when you get up. That's squatting. So there are things that you can incorporate in your daily life, but you have to start. You have to start to motivate yourself by saying, yes, this is what I want to do. Other persons that are going to be supporting you, they're only there to encourage and keep you motivated. But the motivation has to start with you first, because you have to make that crucial decision that, yes, I'm going to start working out. You know, we have persons that will be fear of injury. Now, you might have had a sports injury and you want to get back and exercising, and you reach to a point that, okay, yeah, you're comfortable with walking or back on your feet, but you want to get back into exercising and you fear that, you know, and you worry you might hurt yourself again, and you don't want to go through that pain, because pain is something that is pull our joy from us, and not knowing that some pain is the joy of the results of something good also. But you have people with that, and you just have to trust yourself, trust your trainer, or trust the program that you're going. And you must take it slow, because as you said before, Maya, no one has developed abs or their physique overnight. So it's a slow pace. You take it slow, and definitely you will see results. You know, the other thing that persons also you would hear that is a barrier: low energy level, feeling so tired and fatigued to exercise. Sometimes I always say, folks, that's the nice time to exercise. You might not have to do the full routine, but once you start, you'll be amazed to know that energy. And then, hey, if I said, okay, just do a few exercises, the energy and the bust that will start, you would want to do more. So it's all about a mind thing, making sure that you're motivated and you know what you want to do, you know. And to overcome these, people can try to schedule their workout in their calendars, find activities that they enjoy, starting with, as I said, small goals, exercising with a friend, seeking guidance from professional, and addressing the underlying concerns about their health and fitness level. But, you know, one of the other things that they have to do, time management, to make sure that when you schedule your workout, you block out that time to make sure that you have time for you. Even if it's just 30 minutes a day, you have to have time for you, because small goals can also lead to your big goal and your progress.
And like you said, like what you ended with, small goals can lead to, you know, the big goals of our progress. You know, there's that saying, it a beat of a butterfly's wings, you know, it, like, what's the saying? A butterfly's wings can lead to like the strongest winds. All it takes is that small idea in your head. It can lead to a whole lifestyle change.
Definitely.
And it isn't overnight. But you just got to hold on to that idea and that want for change, and it will lead to the strongest, it will lead to the biggest change of your life. So this is a very relevant question, as many of us fall into this category. So many of us have sedentary jobs. We are literally sitting down. If you're a government worker, 8:30 to 4:30, work somewhere else, maybe even longer. And we are sedentary for most of the day. What practical tips can you share to help them stay active during the workday? And the reason why I say it's also important is because studies are starting to show that being sedentary does the same amount of damage to smoking cigarettes.
Definitely.
In terms of non-clinical diseases. So what can we do to stay active during the day?
You can take frequent breaks. When I'm saying frequent breaks, when you're getting up to go to the bathroom, take your time. Just go heel toe, and just raise your hands. And there are various short exercises when you take frequent breaks instead of sitting down all day. Because sitting down and staring at, you know, the computer all day, it also costs us to snack unhealthy. And why I'm saying snack unhealthy, because you're sitting down in front of the screen all day, and all you're reaching is the unhealthy processed snacks. So that there also is something that you need to invest in yourself. You need to also prepare snacks and take healthy snacks and take it to work. Some vegetables or some nuts and some fruits, so that sitting down, yes, sometimes persons are constantly in meetings or in training. When you reach, you're reaching for something healthy. That is something that you need to do also. But invest in small exercise equipment to have on your desk. You can have the stress balls to just squeeze. Then you have those other smaller, like a finger exercise equipment. So you can have that while you're in training sessions online. You just put your fingers in the holes and just keep squeezing. You know, there are other exercises that you can do while you're sitting down in front of your computer. But embrace desk exercises. Push back your chair a little. Hold on to your desk. Do some squats. You mentioned an exercise also. Sit with your back straight. Just squeeze your stomach. Pull your stomach to your back and hold that for a little while. Let it go. You do some of that. You're working your ab exercises. Use your desk also where you can lean from side to side. So there are a lot of exercises that you can incorporate. You know, one of the most important things I always encourage, drink water. You might be sitting down and not realizing that, oh man, I have a headache, or your lips might get dry, or even you will find that various parts of your eyes, it begins to feel like it's sticky and stuff. All of that is your body asking for water. And I encourage people to drink water, and you start from in the morning. When you start from the morning and you incorporate in your daily routine, you'll be amazed to see that you have consumed what is recommended for a daily 6 to 8 glasses of water. You might even drink more. But apart from that, move. When before you get to work, if you're always parking close to the stairs, park on the other side so you have that little bit of walking to do. When you're walking the stairs, take your time and take step by step. So that also help you. Those are just a few that I can, you know, give to our viewers and helping them to stay active during the workday.
I love that you gave practical, real tips that you can do at the desk. I mean, if you are financially able to, or if your office allows you, getting those treadmills that you can put under your desk. Really good one you can walk throughout the day. I've even seen people, it's almost like bike pedals that's stationary that you put under your desk. You can just pedal all day. And I was like, how easy is that?
And then you have where if you do have money, you can buy the desk that allows you to stand up, to retract up and down. So instead of all day sitting, then you can raise it to a level where you're also working and you're standing up. So there are a lot of gadgets out there, you know, but it can be costly. But, you know, you start small. And to put it, as I always say, start small to incorporate into your daily routine, and gradually, you know, everything will fall in place.
Yeah. I know ways that I try to get movement throughout my day is, so I'm definitely not the type of person that's organized to pack a lunch the night before. So I tend to like get lunch or just skip lunch. But if it's the days I'm getting lunch, I'm walking. If you know, Ministry of Health in Provo, it's downtown. There are restaurants everywhere. If I got a walk, I am making sure to try to bring some of my coworkers, because why would I drive to the patty place? Why would I drive to a restaurant that is less than 15-minute walk? And it's crazy because in Turks, it's very common to just literally drive from the back of a parking lot to the front just to walk less. When you're getting in that, when you're stopping yourself from getting vital movement that you need. If you aren't in a place where there's restaurants around your grocery stores, if you need to drive to a grocery to get lunch, park as far as possible. Get those steps in. I know someone once made the comment being like, why do I see you walking downtown? And one, the real reason is sometimes I don't have a car. But two, how great is it that I am able right now in my life to be able to walk, and I'm not taking advantage of it. I'm going to take advantage of walking whilst I can still walk. You will see me walking down the road, even if it's dusty, if it's hot, even if it's spry, because it's so worth it in the long term.
Definitely.
With that, I'm looking at the time. We do not have time for any more questions. So I just want to start off by saying big thank you to Ms. Robinson for her valuable knowledge on fitness. Thank you to the change and difference you work in our community, especially in the Grand Turk community and the aging population, for keeping people active, for encouraging people, and for just giving them this beautiful wealth of knowledge to help them be healthier, to reduce the risk for non-communicable diseases, to in turn live longer, and not just living, but also thriving longer. To the listeners out there, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. You know, take these things to heart and adapt them to your daily life. Ms. Robinson, I don't know if there's anything you want to end with, but yes.
I just want to close with telling the population of Turks and Caicos to think of exercise as a savings account. You know, the more you put in it, the more you get out of it. Some is better than none. A little every day can add up over time. It's important to invest. And just like investment, you seek advice and guidance. So ensure your doctor is involved, seeking guidance as you invest in your new and healthy you. Thank you, Maya.
Perfect. Thank you, Ms. Robinson. And with that, it's time to close the show. So thank you again, everyone, for listening. And thank you again to Ms. Robinson. I hope you all have a lovely day, and stay tuned for next week's episode of Health Matters.